This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. California's newest gubernatorial candidates couldn't be more different. Arnold Schwarzenegger was a penniless immigrant who made himself into one of the most famous people in the world, legendary bodybuilder, actor, and moderate Republican. Cruz Bustamante is California's lieutenant governor, best known outside the state for announcing the date of the recall election. He's a centrist Democrat and obviously bold enough to break ranks with Governor Gray Davis and his supporters in California's unions. And between them, the two men transformed an already intriguing recall election last night. While all of us feel as if we know the Hollywood megastar Schwarzenegger, his politics are less familiar. We'll bring you political biographies of both new candidates. We'll talk about the Californian and American fascination with politics and celebrity. And we'll take your calls and emails. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN@NPR.org. But first, for those who didn't follow this recall race until last night, let me explain some background. Republican Congressman and wealthy businessman Daryl Issa funded a petition drive to recall Gray Davis, who was elected to a second term as governor last November. Between the power crisis, a huge budget deficit, and an autocratic manner, Davis is extremely unpopular in California. Voters will be asked two questions on October the 7th. Should Governor Davis be recalled, yes or no? And if he is recalled, who should replace him? So far, more than 350 people say they want their name on that list. If Governor Davis is recalled, whoever gets the most votes will serve the remainder of his term in Sacramento. Joining us now to talk about the politics are Mark DiCamillo. He's the director of California's Field Poll. He joins us by phone from his office in San Francisco. Good to speak with you again.
Hi, Neil.
And Peter Robinson is with us. He's a California Republican, a former speechwriter in the Reagan White House, the author most recently of How Reagan Changed My Life. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Good to speak with you.
Neil, very good to join you on Ronald Reagan's favorite medium.
Let's go first to Mark. We know the media is awfully excited about the Schwarzenegger candidacy. What are your polls told you about how California viewers, voters view it?
Well, we've had Schwarzenegger on two previous statewide polls, one in April, in fact, when we had Bustamante listed as a potential replacement candidate. And in that poll, Bustamante actually had more preferences among voters than Schwarzenegger. 22% would have preferred Bustamante, Schwarzenegger at 17, and then Bill Simon was at 15. That was the ordering. So I don't think that Schwarzenegger necessarily starts out as the favorite, although he certainly starts out as the best-known candidate.
And there's a famous saying, I believe, that goes back to the founder of your poll, that celebrity candidates are best on day one. After that, they go downhill.
Well, he has to break through. There's certain segments of the public that has a certain degree of skepticism about a candidate like Schwarzenegger. And with the keg lights of the media around him, though, he has the opportunity to introduce himself and to try to break through, and we'll have to see how well he does.
Peter Robinson, who are Schwarzenegger's primary supporters in the Republican Party, and has the party encouraged him to run before?
So far as I know, well, when you talk about the party in the state of California, you're talking about an entity that only scarcely exists. There is an organization, but for years now, this dates all the way back to the 60s, Ronald Reagan faced this problem. The California Republican Party cleaves pretty neatly into two. There are the people who raise money for the party, and they tend to be moderate to liberal. And then there are the people who stuff envelopes and go door to door for the party, and they tend to be conservative. It's hard to get them to agree on anything, and the party structure, Duff Sundheim is the chairman of the California Republican Party right now. They did not make an effort to pull the party together to select a candidate. It was simply wide open, and Arnold tossed his hat into the ring, so far as I know, unasked in any formal way by the party. Former Governor Pete Wilson, I know, has been talking to Arnold Schwarzenegger on and off for about 18 months. And Pete has told me that he found him very impressive, an extremely intelligent and shrewd man. So Arnold clearly has been reaching out to people with political expertise, but there's no formal sense in which there was a party structure that nudged Arnold into doing this.
Mark, what does your poll tell us about how Californians view Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is he viewed positively? Is he taken seriously? Is there a way to measure that?
Well, we have measured his image in prior polls, And it's more negative than positive, particularly among Democrats. Democrats are particularly skeptical of Schwarzenegger's abilities. But it's going to be interesting how many Democrats actually are on the ballot. I mean, with Bustamante jumping in now, and there is now talk that Insurance Commissioner John Garamendi, who's a Democrat, will also get in. The Democratic vote may actually start dividing up among different candidates, and that would actually benefit Schwarzenegger. So even if he maintains a negative image among Democrats, he may be able to win by pulling enough of the moderate Republicans and the nonpartisans, which I think will be an interesting new element in this recall. I think a lot of observers up to this point did not think that nonpartisans would be coming out in a big way, but with Schwarzenegger in there, he may actually change the dynamics of the turnout.
Peter, we've heard, you know, obviously it's less than 12 hours, I guess, since the Leno show last night, but we've heard that Schwarzenegger does not have a lot of appeal to the conservative activists within the Republican Party. If he runs, is he going to be more or less this independent voice or an identified Republican or what?
Well, this is something that we'll have to shake out over the next few days. It strikes me that the immediate effect of Arnold's jumping in is to block out any media or any attention for some period of days for other Republican candidates. You mentioned Bill Simon. It was Mark who mentioned Bill Simon. Mm-hmm. Bill Simon was on a previous poll. Nobody's talking about Bill Simon today. Nobody's talking about Dick Reardon today. Nobody's even talking about Daryl Issa, which must be infuriating for the poor man who spent $1.7 million of his own money to get this initiative put forward. But so Arnold has the chance. If he moves quickly, if he seems intelligent, if he reaches out to the conservative base, he has the chance over the next few days. I don't think it lasts more than a few days, but he has the chance over the next few days to become, in effect, the Republican candidate.
If, on the other hand, he missteps, if he gets angry with somebody in a public, say, any number of ways that any number of candidates have already taught us they can self-destruct, he can become a laughingstock in a couple of days.
Oh, I think that's right. I think that's right. We shall have to see. I do think that dictum that celebrity candidates start big and then tend to dwindle is worth paying attention to. However, there is good reason, just from what he did last night, to suppose that Arnold Schwarzenegger has already assembled some pretty smart advisors and is himself shrewd. He waited until the Democratic strategy had solidified. Nobody else on the ballot. We're just going to back Gray Davis. Waited until, so to speak, the last minute. He jumped on the media. As I recall, you did a show on the recall just yesterday.
Yes, we did.
You're doing another show on the recall today, and what are we talking about? Arnold. He's positioned himself last night as anti-Sacramento. Just today, as of yesterday, the dynamic of the race was, I'd be interested to hear Mark comment on this, but I read the dynamic of as, will Davis stay or will Davis go? And today, people are already beginning to think about it in an entirely new way. Who will replace Davis? Will it be Arnold? Will it be some? That may be premature, but Arnold has been shrewd enough to, in one rather odd, splashy announcement, transform the dynamics of the race. That guy is not a fool.
Your comments, Mark?
Well, his personality and his celebrity status, and also the anti-Sacramento kind of statements that he has made, I think do play well for him. We are a state that has had fairly unappealing governors, at least from the public standpoint, in terms of being dynamic or having charisma. And I think this state has kind of longed for the good old days when maybe we had a dynamic Jerry Brown or a Ronald Reagan. But the last two governors, we've had Pete Wilson and the current governor, Gray Davis, and even George Duke Majan before that. Very lackluster. It's also interesting to note that voter turnout over that entire period has continued to go down, with the last election having record low turnouts for any statewide election in California history for both the primary and the general. So the public has really turned its back on electoral politics in California, and it needs a shot in the arm, and a celebrity politician may contribute to a resurgence of interest in politics.
If, obviously, the election has already become more interesting, if it becomes more interesting, presumably more people go to the polls. And in California, Mark, isn't the rule if more people go to the polls, you're getting more Democrats to the polls?
That's true. But I would say that Schwarzenegger's entrance to the process really doesn't pose as serious a threat to to Davis's fortunes in terms of the yes-no vote on the recall, but it's Bustamante's entrance that really is going to have to cause problems for the governor, along with John Garamendi, if he indeed is in the race. With multiple prominent Democrats, I think the problem that Davis faces gets compounded. He, in our last poll, 26% of Democrats said that they were intending to vote yes to recall the governor. And so it was the governor's strategy, I think, over the last 2 or 3 weeks to try to bring that number down. That is, to bring Democrats back into the fold and to get the proportion of Democrats who would actually vote to recall him down into the low teens or something. But with a Democratic alternative candidates like a Bustamante, like a Garamendi, I think the problem becomes very difficult for Davis, because those 26% who were disaffected with him and intending to vote to recall him, I think, still can do so. And it's going to be harder for the governor to change their minds.
Our phone number is 800-989-8255. The email address, totn@npr.org. And let's talk with Lori, who's on the line with us from Sacramento.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
I'm very intrigued by the history of wealthy candidates in California. I'm a lifelong Californian, and remember Al Checky, Michael Huffington, Bill Simon, and now Arnold Schwarzenegger.
First three all losers, as I recall.
True, but all three independently wealthy trying to buy a statewide election.
And given that past history, Peter Robinson, do you think Californians have an animosity towards the wealthy candidate?
What Californians have is campaign finance laws. Ronald Reagan ran the so-called Reagan Kitchen Cabinet. We're all wealthy men. In those days, you could assemble a group of wealthy men. They could back you, and you could run, even if you were a person of relatively modest means yourself. Now the choice you have is either to be personally wealthy. Dianne Feinstein is married to an extremely wealthy man. The caller just called several people who are fantastically wealthy. Arnold Schwarzenegger, again, fantastically wealthy. Or, and in a certain sense, my heart almost goes out to Gray Davis in this point, either you have the money yourself or you have to be fantastically tenacious and devote an immense amount of time to raising the money from rich donors, which is exactly what Gray Davis has done, because he himself is a man of modest means. There's just no other way around it. You can't assemble 10 or a dozen wealthy backers and get the money problem taken care of right away anymore.
Lori, thanks. Yeah. Did you have another question?
Well, I think my ultimate concern is, and other folks I've talked to about this, is that we're really going to be scaring away quality people from public service because the cost of running an election.
That's a concern that's been voiced at lower than the California governor's race, which costs tens of millions of dollars.
I happened to talk to Pete Wilson just a couple of weeks ago and asked him about running either for governor or for the Senate, and Pete just shook his head and said, "Do you have any idea how hard it is to raise $30 million? He had a point. I don't have any idea how hard it is.
It's exhausting.
Lori, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. We're talking about the running man, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and a man with many fewer nicknames, probably just Lieutenant Governor will do right now, that's Cruz Bustamante, their role in California politics, which have been transformed overnight by the declaration of those two men of their candidacy in California's gubernatorial recall election, which is now scheduled for October 7th. There's still some legal charges, legal cases being brought up to challenge that date. We're supposed to find out today how some of those might be disposed. We're taking your calls, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, totn@npr.org. More with Peter Robinson and Mark DiCamillo after we come back from a short break. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about political news from California, who is running and who is not in the recall challenge to Governor Gray Davis. The big news, of course, is that actor Arnold Schwarzenegger is now in the race, along with Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante, the first prominent Democrat to break ranks with Gray Davis and throw his name into the ring. If you're in California, tell us how all of this colors your view of the recall. If you're outside California, tell us what you think about celebrity and politics. Our phone number is 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guests are Peter Robinson, a fellow at the Hoover Institution in California, the author of How Reagan Changed My Life, and Mark DiCamillo, the director of California's Field Poll, who's with us from his office in San Francisco. And a couple of email questions. Doug Wicken asks, if Davis would resign, does Bustamante become governor? What would that do to the recall? Who determines who the lieutenant governor is in such a situation? Gray Davis could be lieutenant governor if he and Bustamante could get their act together. I have to say, Mark DiCamillo, I don't know the rules on that.
Well, Bustamante would become the acting governor, but the recall election would still go forward. It's a very complicated scenario, but with the recall having qualified for the ballot, that election will go forward unless the courts rule otherwise. And so if Davis were to resign and voters were to then vote him out, the person with the most votes in the replacement election would become governor. However, if for whatever reason voters were not to recall him after he resigned, Bustamante would remain as governor through the remainder of his term. So it's a complicated scenario. It wouldn't make things simpler, but some people I've read have suggested that Davis do just that.
And another email, this one from Simon Kedward in San Diego. I'm a native California who signed the recall petition and now plan on voting for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why? I trust him to clean up my state. I'll say right here, the 18 to 35-year-old vote will be his, and we'll show up to vote for him in this recall en masse. Vote for the governator. I don't have the right accent to do that there at the end, but that's Peter, is there an aspect of a Jesse Ventura kind of move in all of this? The former wrestler and Navy SEAL who became the governor of the state of Minnesota as an independent and with a lot of young people's votes.
Sure there is. And why did he announce on Leno last night? Because that's the demographic, 18 to 35, that watches Leno. This is a guy who has thought things through. The other point, this notion that you, which is absolutely basic to Arnold's candidacy, that he has to overcome the general trend that a celebrity candidate peaks on day one and then dwindles. He has to do a couple of things. One of those is actually tell us what he stands for. But this is a campaign that'll be over on October the 7th. It's going to be very short. So if there's a moment when a celebrity candidate can simply walk in, appeal to people on relatively simple tenets. I'm not Gray Davis. For a lot of Californians, that's about all they need to hear. I'm going to go in there and clean up. In this short a period of time, this is a wonderful opportunity for him to try to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Another important demographic group, Mark DiCamillo, and that is Hispanics, increasingly important in California politics, in national politics, but especially in California. New candidacy of Cruz Bustamante, well, let me put it this way. What does your poll show about support for either of these men from the Hispanic community?
Well, clearly Bustamante would have the advantage among Latino voters, and he may actually spur more Latinos to go to the polls. So not only would he, I think, start out expecting their support, he would try to arouse the sleeping giant of voters and attempt to alter the turnout as well. I think that would be one of the strategies that he would likely to follow. When we polled on Bustamante earlier this year, he was getting 44% of Latino voter support in the replacement election. That was a very high number in a crowded field.
Hmm.
You asked earlier, Neil, about whether Republicans will support Arnold Schwarzenegger. You've just heard that Mark say that the Hispanic vote will tend to rally to Bustamante. The Hispanic vote is a problem for Republicans. The state has absorbed something like 8 million Hispanics over the last decade alone. Unless Republicans can begin to make inroads there, they're going to lose the state permanently. Schwarzenegger has an opportunity to appeal to Hispanics in a way that no other Republican candidate can do. It's a simple appeal, but it's a powerful one. He can say, look, English isn't my first language either. And I came to this country for the same reason you did, which is to work hard and become an American.
Thank you both very much. We appreciate it. Peter Robinson is here in Studio 3A. He's a fellow at the Hoover Institution in California, the author of How Reagan Changed My Life. Good to have you in the studio.
Oh, a pleasure, Neil.
And Mark DiCamillo is the director of California's Field Poll. He was with us by phone from his office in San Francisco. We appreciate your time because I suspect you're pretty busy today.
We are. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Here to tell us more about Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante is Pat Morrison, a columnist for the Los Angeles Times and a Morning Edition commentator. She's with us from her office in Los Angeles. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
Why do you think the lieutenant governor changed his mind about entering this race?
Less than 2 weeks ago, he said that there is no chance he would be a candidate on the recall ballot. But, of course, he was running right behind Dianne Feinstein in the recall polls. And now that Dianne Feinstein is gone, people may have prevailed on Cruz Bustamante, saying, look, we need a strong Democrat in this race, and prevailed upon him to step up to the bat. Now, he is a man who's had a long history of friction with Governor Gray Davis, even though he's number two in the Democratic hierarchy. He and Gray Davis do not get along very well. Gray Davis has evidently shut him out of some proceedings, and there have been some little conflicts here and there. But even so, he was seen to be a loyal Democrat until now the call has come out for a Democrat to come forward.
What can you tell us about his background?
Cruz Bustamante, politically, you can situate him on the spectrum by knowing that he is the state chairman of Lieberman 2004. He's a fairly conservative Democrat, as California Democrats go. He is from the raisin-growing town of Danuba in the Central Valley. He was the first Latino to become Speaker of the State Assembly. His grandparents are immigrants from Mexico. He himself has a long tradition of public service work in politics. He was a high school student at the wonderfully named Tranquility High when he organized a student strike over closing the campus at lunch and got called to the principal's office.
Well, how did he get into politics?
His parents were very active in community grassroots politics, and from an early age he saw what they did and wanted to emulate that and go along with that. He served a brief internship with a congressman in Washington, and there's any reason to look at this man as a guy who's deeply grounded in conservative Latino Democratic politics in California, and certainly he's the highest ranking and most visible Latino in California politics.
Well, a former Speaker of the State Assembly, now the Lieutenant Governor, what's he like as a political performer, as a speechmaker?
He's not flashy. He made a point after succeeding Willie Brown, the flamboyant Willie Brown, to say, look, this is not performance politics. I'm not out there doing a performance. I'm in here doing a job. And so he's seen as a guy who gets the job done, who sticks to his word, but who is not necessarily going to be out front pounding the pulpit.
Is he skilled in debates and that sort of thing?
He's been adroit without being necessarily flashy. I think that he can turn out a witticism or two when he's called upon to do so, but he takes the job seriously. He looks upon the job very seriously. He is, of course, a wine connoisseur. He takes occasional tours of the Napa Valley on tasting excursions, so I think perhaps a wine jest or two would not be misplaced.
Has he ever worked in the private sector?
There's no indication he's ever worked in the private sector, and certainly this is a vulnerability. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a great reputation as a businessman, and this is certainly one of the things I would expect Cruz Bustamante to be pounded on by some of the Republican opposition.
Will he be seen in this context as the Democrats' best hope, the rising star of the party, or is he going to be seen maybe by some as an opportunist?
I think there are some who are going to look upon his history of friction with Gray Davis with some distaste and say, look, he took the chance then when he said he would not, of coming around and stabbing Gray Davis in the back by offering himself as a candidate. But it also ought to be pointed out that much of the Democratic resistance to putting forward any candidate has been crumbling of late. Cruz Bustamante's numbers would argue that he is the guy to be put forward, if anyone, except Dianne Feinstein.
There is also, as you mentioned, there was a campaign to prevent any prominent Democrat from getting on the ballot. An important element of that was several union leaders saying, if you do it, you will be banned from our eyes forever. That threat clearly did not stop Cruz Bustamante.
Well, forever doesn't last very long in California, as we've seen time and time again. This is a state that literally shakes itself apart now and again, and I certainly think that politics is following suit.
Well, thank you, Pat, very much.
A pleasure.
Pat Morrison, a columnist with the Los Angeles Times and a commentator for NPR's Morning Edition. She was on the line with us from her office in Los Angeles. Joining us now on the phone is Darrell West. He teaches political science at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and he's the author of Celebrity Politics. And thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Neil. Nice to be with you.
You've been following Arnold Schwarzenegger throughout all of this process. Did yesterday's announcement surprise you? It seemed to surprise a lot of other people.
It surprised everyone just because all of his aides had been saying he wasn't going to do it. But if you think about the longer-term trend in American politics, we actually shouldn't have been surprised because it is becoming more and more common for celebrities to seek these kinds of offices.
What is unusual? What is unique about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
He's unique in the sense that, you know, there have been other Hollywood figures who have sought office, George Murphy, Ronald Reagan, and Sonny Bono. But what's unusual about Schwarzenegger is he is still in the prime of his movie career. You know, he's a current celebrity. When Reagan went into politics, he was really at the end of his acting career. All the jokes about him being a B-level actor, probably by the time he entered politics, he dropped down to the C-level. Arnold Schwarzenegger is still very much in his prime.
How did he get into politics?
Reagan? Or?
No. Reagan we know about. He's not running. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger has been active on a variety of public policy issues. Last year, he gained prominence in California for helping to push a proposition on after-school programs through. In the first President Bush administration, Bush appointed him to head a physical fitness commission. So he's been around the political establishment for more than a decade at this point.
He's also been active in programs for children. And I know that obviously he's married to Maria Shriver, who's the niece of Senator Edward Kennedy. So he's got that connection as well.
Yes. No, he certainly has been around politics and politicians at Kennedy family reunions. He's surrounded by elected officials. And by all indications that we've had, this is not just a vacuous Hollywood actor, which, you know, sometimes people tend to accept that stereotype. This is a guy who is smart. He's articulate. He is politically shrewd. Anyone who saw his press conference yesterday, it was a very Reagan-esque type of experience. He was a great communicator. He really related very well with the average person.
Does it matter at all what kinds of roles that an actor has played and how well?
I'm sure people are going to say, hey, if you look at his movies, he's killing people, there's a lot of violence, but you know, he's going to laugh that off, and I don't think voters are going to take that seriously because even voters can distinguish a fantasy from a reality. As long as Schwarzenegger comes across in his policy positions as not extreme, as saying the right things, as expressing concern about violence in movies and so on, I don't think that's going to be a big problem for him.
And as he moves ahead, as you say, I mean, movie T3, Terminator 3, is in movie houses, I think, still, even as we speak. It's been out all summer. So this is most unusual for a celebrity to be, as you say, at the prime of his career and still deciding to run for office. Are there a lot of risks in this for him, do you think?
I don't think there are political risks, you know, other than the possibility that he will lose. But when you think about him just as a candidate, he brings a large number of assets to this race. Obviously, he's well-known, but he's also well-liked. He's trusted and respected. In an era where people are cynical about established politicians, and in California, 70% of state voters now believe California is headed in the wrong direction, Schwarzenegger is going to run the traditional outsider campaign talking about the need to clean house and clean up the mess left by career politicians. That's a perfect platform for a celebrity to run against the political establishment.
We are speaking with Darrell West, the author of Celebrity Politics, about the candidacy of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who declared his intentions last night on The Tonight Show. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another listener on the line. John joins us from Carmichael, California.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate the previous guest you had regarding Camejo.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding Cruz Bustamante.
Yes.
As far as any replacement for Davis as a voting Democrat, I would feel that he should be installed as the governor before any alternative election would be created. But regarding Arnold himself, his qualifications as governor, does he even have a high school degree? I'm afraid that he's going to turn out like Reagan, just a puppet for the Bush administration Carlyle group.
Well, Darrell West, my recollection is that he has an MBA.
Schwarzenegger is well-educated. He's bright and articulate. He actually has paid much more attention to the issues than Reagan ever did, certainly during his Hollywood days. Schwarzenegger is not just a stereotypical conservative politician. He is more liberal on the abortion issue, pro-choice. So he's like a celebrity. One of the things about celebrities is it's often difficult to pigeonhole them because, like a career politician, basically has to toe the liberal line or the conservative line and appeal to all the traditional interest groups. Celebrities have much greater freedom to kind of pick and choose, to innovate, and so therefore they don't fit the common stereotypes that we normally ascribe to career politicians.
So although he is professionally an actor, he does have a track record.
He does have a track record. He's spoken out on behalf of a number of different issues. Of course, we don't really know what he said on a variety of things, and you can be sure that Gray Davis and his team are now assigning opposition researchers to go back and find everything that Arnold Schwarzenegger has uttered over his entire life.
Thank you.
John, thanks very much. Here's an email question from John Galato in Jacksonville, Florida. Those who are most swayed by celebrity would seem to be those who are most impervious to researching the issues on their own, he writes. I'm not saying Mr. Schwarzenegger has no valid ideas, but until this large portion of the voting population decides to actually become involved and educated, I suspect we will again see celebrity advanced as a legitimate qualification to hold elected office.
I don't see celebrity status in and of itself as, you know, any grounds for election to an office. But what being a celebrity does is, obviously, he's getting a tremendous amount of media attention. He has money and has the capacity to raise money. So he will be in a very strong position to communicate with the electorate. Obviously, we'll have to watch during the course of the campaign and find out exactly what he does know. And when you look at past celebrities, voters generally don't go for policy wonks. You know, they don't always vote for the smartest candidate in the field. But what celebrities do have to establish is they have to cross a credibility threshold in which they demonstrate enough substantive knowledge that voters feel comfortable trusting the future of the state with them. So that's really the task of Schwarzenegger in this campaign, to demonstrate not that he's the smartest guy in the world or that he knows the most about public policy, but that he shares the values of voters and that people can trust him with the future of California.
And obviously, this is not new for Californians. They've learned how to make this decision in the past, not only with Ronald Reagan, but with the old song and dance man George Murphy, who was elected to the United States Senate some years ago from the state of California. We'll have more on politics and celebrity and the candidacies of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Cruz Bustamante now that they have tossed their hats into the California gubernatorial ring when we come back from a break. Our phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, the email address TOTN at NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Thank you.
We're right now, we're talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger's bid to replace Governor Gray Davis. Also, Cruz Bustamante, the lieutenant governor, became the first prominent Democrat to throw his hat into the ring. We're also discussing what happens when celebrity and politics mix up. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-989-8255 or send us email at totn@npr.org. Our guest is Darrell West, professor of political science at Brown University and author of Celebrity Politics. And let's go back to the phones. And Naomi joins us from St. Paul, Minnesota. Hello, Naomi.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Given the small number of votes needed to win an election if the recall goes through, you'd think it would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for third parties, Green Party, for example. But I haven't heard anything about third parties stepping up and seizing this opportunity. Any idea why?
Darrell West, I'm not sure you're an expert on California politics, but maybe you can try a shot at that.
Well, she's absolutely right that this is an election where, since the ballot is going to be so crowded and we're talking about plurality voting, it's conceivable that the next governor of California may be elected with just 25 or 30% of the vote, which, of course, is one of the advantages Schwarzenegger has as the most well-known candidate in the race. But third-party candidates could do very well in this situation because, you know, what often discourages third-party activists is the need to, you know, be able to get 40 or 45 or 50% to win a two- or three-way race, and that's very difficult. But in California, you would think that the Green Party would be out organizing the Reform Party and every other party that cares about the future of California. So I suspect that in the next couple of days we will see more third-party candidates start to come out as they recognize the opportunity that's available to them.
Naomi, have you one of the things that would be required for that to happen would be, A, to have a large measure of agreement on one candidate and who that candidate would be, and have that person, male or female, electrify a lot of people. Have you heard of anybody who is running in California? I guess Naomi has left us. But we thank her for her phone call, and I think that's a question that's going to be coming up with at least 350 people, though, applying to be on this position in the ballot, in the second part of this ballot. Just arranging a candidate's debate in California is going to be something of a nightmare. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Andrea, who's in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to point out how ironic I think it is that Arnold Schwarzenegger has announced his candidacy and media just really seems to be jumping on the bandwagon like this is a really great idea. But 6 months ago, any time a celebrity spoke out against the war, or any time a celebrity speaks out against something like an SUV, they're jumped on. What do celebrities know? Leave governing to
Andrea? I think Andrea's cell phone has faded away, but I don't know if you wanted to address that, Darrell.
Andrea is exactly right, but what happens is the people's views about celebrities are context-specific. So, for example, when Martin Sheen and other Hollywood celebrities were speaking out against the Iraq War, you know, they were speaking out against something that was very controversial, and a lot of Americans actually at that point shared President Bush's view about the need to go in. So they attracted a lot of flack. In the Schwarzenegger situation, the context is completely different because in this case, this celebrity, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is running against an incumbent governor who has a 20 percentage point job approval rating. And so, therefore, he's very unpopular. Schwarzenegger looks good in comparison. The career politicians have messed up the state of California. So, you know, it's a perfect situation and helps to explain why our reaction to this guy is different than the reaction that we saw in the case of Martin Sheen in Iraq.
Is there some affinity between the celebrities who do go into politics and the Republican Party? The people we mentioned earlier, George Murphy, Ronald Reagan, obviously, all ran as Republicans.
There are certainly many Hollywood actors as well as athletes who have gone the Republican route, but the Democratic Party has their share of activists and people who run for office. Of course, Barbara Streisand is probably the most prominent liberal Democratic activist. And so basically Republicans have no monopoly on celebrity candidates.
I don't think Barbara's running for anything, though.
She's not.
Okay.
Not yet.
Darrell West, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Darrell West is the author of Celebrity Politics. He teaches political science at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island. And joining us now is someone who has walked the path of celebrity and politics. Fred Grandy represented Iowa as a Republican in the United States House of Representatives from 1987 until 1995. He played the role of Gopher on The Love Boat, which ABC aired in primetime from 1977 until 1986. He now teaches public affairs at the University of Maryland and just landed a new job as a radio talk show host on radio station WMAL here in Washington, D.C. Fred Grandy, welcome to Talk of the Nation, and congratulations on getting back into show business.
Thank you, Neil. I'm glad to hear that radio is show business.
Let me take you back to 1986 when you ran for Congress. What was hard about making the jump, that divide between Hollywood and politics?
Well, I think the hardest part was learning that your celebrity status could only take you so far. And what it did, of course, was invite a lot of very curious people to come and see you. That's almost like being in a zoo. But what it did was allow me the chance to kind of make my case, air my views, and most importantly, listen to people. And, you know, you say I started in 1986. I actually started in 1985. This audition happened to be about 18 months long. And I think without that combination of celebrity veneer and just that very hard retail spade work that goes into a campaign, I don't think I would have won.
Well, Fred, you're almost as famous as Arnold Schwarzenegger. And but I have to ask, how much do you think the acting career contributed to your ability to be a politician?
Well, the acting career is critical because, I mean, obviously it's a communication business. And if you can basically listen and think on your feet. I think the best thing that I ever did to prepare for a career in politics was be in improvisational theater when I first went to New York to try and get into show business. I was in a show called The Proposition in New York where we basically took suggestions from the audience and made stuff up every single night. And that's probably closer to everything I did as a politician than any other training I ever had, including 4 years at Harvard.
Any advice to Arnold Schwarzenegger or maybe things not to do?
Well, I don't want to give him too much advice because these always have to be customized events, and he seems to have some good people with him. But I would say that the more he can kind of get out and be seen and get down to the level of the people he wants to represent, as opposed to kind of hover above them as an action hero, I think the better his chances are. It's very charming to hear him say, "I'm an action hero. I'm gonna produce action when I'm in Sacramento." That's all great, but you have to follow that up by willing to meet people, touch them, look them in the eye, and let them do the same to you.
Fred Grandy, thanks very much for being with us today.
All right, thank you.
Fred Grandy, a former congressman, a former actor, now a talk show host on radio station WMAL here in Washington, D.C. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News.